Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. Very excited to have you guys here. Obviously, you can see on my screen, I have my friend Ross Johnston with us. How are you feeling tonight, bro?
Man, I'm so excited and expectant. It's going to be a great 1 hour here, man.
Yes, yes, it's going to be good, guys. We're on episode 100. Actually, type in the chat. I forget. I think it's 170 of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. Started this at the end of 2019. Thought that it was going to last like a month or two. And here we are 5 years later. We're still going strong. We're still bringing on new guests. And as you guys know, this is the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. So we don't just want to bring you information tonight. I'm actually praying, and I told Ross this before we started live. I am believing for the supernatural power of God to touch your life. I was praying thinking, Lord, I was looking back at my encounter because today I posted an announcement video, which you guys haven't seen that. You need to go watch my announcement video, but it's something that happened to me 13 years ago when I got saved and touched by God. And I was thinking about, man, Lord, I would love if somebody that happened to someone tonight, like while we're sharing, while Ross is sharing his testimony, while we're preaching, I'm just believing that the Lord's going to encounter you in such a special way that you're never going to be the same. So I want you to be hungry tonight. If there's one thing I'm going to ask of you, be hungry in this broadcast, be thirsty in this broadcast. The Bible says, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. So guys, if you're hungry for revival and the river of God, don't wait for the river and then say, now I'm hungry. You actually have to have hunger and thirst. That's what gets the river to flow. And so I'm just believing tonight, man, I already feel the Holy Spirit, but I'm believing tonight that the river of God is going to flow as you're hungry, as you're thirsty. And Ross, here's the deal, bro. I'm hungry today. I woke up this morning and said, Lord, I need your presence. I can't survive a day without you. I can't go an hour without your touch. And so I'm believing for my own life. I'm not just preaching to you guys, for just a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a fresh baptism of the fire of God. And even as Ross is sharing, man, he's so bold. He's so on fire for God. This is long overdue. I've been following his ministry. I love that he's a revivalist. I love revival. I got saved in revival. I've been in revival. I'm so excited about it. All I care about is seeing revival in this generation. I know that's Ross's heart. So, bro, thank you so much for being on. So excited to have you on. And I would love maybe just to open, we're definitely going to dive into your testimony and I have stuff down I want to ask you about, but maybe just what is your ministry like? What are you doing right now? And maybe a little bit of who you are, and then we'll just kind of dive into your powerful testimony.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, you know, I'm here in California, so a fellow Californian here, yeah. And I'm just believing, just like you, bro, and so many other people, that whatever happens here in California will not only impact America, but will impact the nations of the earth. You know, just in the last over 100 years, there's been four massive moves of God here. Azusa Street, Amy Simple McPherson, Jesus People Movement, Billy Graham birthed his ministry in Los Angeles. And so if we don't believe it as Christians, who will? And so currently at the moment, I'm co-leading a ministry called California Will Be Saved. And we do outdoor revival events all up and down the coast of California, worship, the gospel, deliverance, healing, salvation, baptisms, and just believing for the kingdom of God to advance in California and to impact people's lives all throughout the nations. I'm currently 29 years old. I live in the amazing Orange County, and I've been in California my entire life. And so super excited, super honored, and it's going to be a powerful time.
That's amazing, man. I know a lot of people that don't live in California, whenever I'm traveling like in Texas or Florida or Washington, wherever, they're like, oh, California, you're from that, you know, snowflake liberal state that's going to fall into the ocean at any moment. And people always ask, when are you going to move out of California? The taxes are high. All the laws are crazy. And I'm always like, man, if the Lord spoke to me to leave, of course I'd go, but we need a remnant here in California. I really feel like I've been here, you know, plowing for 13 years saying, Lord, do it in California. There's a hunger in California. There's a revival happening. There's a desperation in California. And so when I saw your ministry that you're in California, crying out for revival, preaching repentance, seeing miracles, signs, and wonders, I was just going, okay, Lord, you're raising up a remnant. There's a new breed. There's a new generation rising up that's so hungry for the authentic. And I really think that's what it is, Ross. I think our generation is so desperate for the real. They're tired of the fluff. They're tired of the fake. They're tired of American incorporated Christianity. They're tired of plastic synthetic religion. They want the move of God. They want the power of the Holy Spirit. They want to see miracles. They want to experience deliverance. They want the fire. And so watching your videos, I was just watching some of your stuff today and seeing you preach and, hey, we need revival. We need to go all in. I just resonated with that because that is what California needs. California does not need another woke megachurch. California does not need another liberal church. We need a holiness revival. We need a revival of the power, the presence, and the fire of God. And so, man, I love what God is doing in you. Now, talking about what God is doing in you, you were not always this way. I was watching your testimony, I don't know when, maybe a month ago somebody sent me it. I didn't know your testimony. I'd followed you on Instagram, saw what God was doing with you. We have a lot of mutual friends. I think we talked a few times on Instagram Messenger, maybe some comments, but I didn't know your story. And then somebody sent me it like a month ago and I'm like, this testimony is so powerful, is so strong. So I'd love to break that down and kind of dive into it because I think when people have maybe a rough upbringing or an unorthodox upbringing, or maybe they were raised an atheist, or maybe they were raised like for you, you know, in a lesbian household, we just kind of write people off saying there's no hope for those kids, right? There's no hope for those people. But you have a story of the hand of God calling you out of such a dark situation and really an ungodly upbringing, not to be rude and not to, you know, kind of be harsh about it. But I would love to just kind of hear your upbringing and some of your testimony.
Yeah, man, I've been saying it like this, you know, God is saving and using those who come from the most hopeless, godless, darkest situations. It's Isaiah 61, that those who used to be captives, those who used to be the poor, those who used to be prisoners are now the ones rebuilding the ancient ruins of cities and nations and the foundations of the earth, you know? And so for my story, it literally starts on day one. I was born by artificial insemination. And the reason for that is my mom is living and was living a lesbian lifestyle. And you know what's crazy, bro? She actually, you know, about a few months ago, I asked my mom, I said, Mom, why did you decide to have a child? And she said, you know what? I was getting older and I just decided it was time because my body clock was ticking. She opened a phone book back in the day, right? In the 90s, opened a phone book, found a lab, walked in and said, hey, I want to have a child. They laid out a lineup of 10 guys in front of her. She chose one. And 9 months later, there I was. And so that's the story of how I was actually inseminated and how I was born. You know, I come onto the scene and all I knew was all I knew because I was a baby, right? I didn't know anything else. And so from about 1 to 15 years old, praise God, nothing really traumatic happened in my life. But then I remember as I started to get mature and as I started to be in high school, I had all these good things. Like I was good at sports. I had good grades. My life seemed to have a good outlook. But for some reason, in the depths of my soul, I never felt like anybody saw me. I never felt like anybody actually knew who Ross was. And so I remember, bro, I go to church at 15 and we'll get into more of the story here in a sec. But that's really what kind of started stirring me is I was like, man, there is something missing in my heart. There's something missing in my soul. And because I grew up around an atmosphere where we never talked about Jesus, bro, I had never been to church my whole life. Never heard a sermon. Never heard a worship song. I mean, you want to talk about zero grid for God. That was me.
Wow. Now, for those that maybe don't know, maybe explain artificial insemination. How does that work? I know people in the chat are like, wait, so you never had a dad, you never had a father, you never met him. Maybe break down a little bit of that. And then how did that shape your upbringing? Is this like a donor facility that you go to and then you pay something? Or maybe explain a little bit of that for those that don't know what that is.
Yeah, I mean, in our culture today, there's so many different options and routes, but at that time, it was pretty simple. And keep in mind, in the 90s, this was much more low key, right? Like people weren't as open about this. It was more so like, hey, if I'm gonna do this, like let's kind of keep it on the low, like hush, hush. But basically what happened is there's really two options. Number one, somebody's having trouble getting pregnant. And so they look for an alternative route. And this is one of those. Or number two, in my mom's case, and more, we're seeing this more and more in today's culture, is those who are living a homosexual lifestyle. Obviously, they're not going to have a child in the way God designed it to happen. And so what they would do is they go to this facility and there's different men who actually donate their sperm. And they do this for money because it's an quote unquote easy way to, you know, to get money. But what happens is when women come into these facilities, they give them, like I said, sort of like a lineup. And in this lineup, now it might've changed a little bit, but at least during that time, all my mom knew was really simple characteristics, you know, eye color, height, weight. I don't even think there was pictures and maybe not even cities, or maybe they had the state they grew up in. But other than that, it was very, very basic and just kind of like, okay, here's some characteristics. And then you choose one. And then what they do is they inseminate the woman. So and a baby is born.
Yeah,
So that's
yeah.
how it happened for me.
And then for you, did you ever know your father? Have you ever met your father? Did you have a desire to know him? And how did that shape the way you grew up? I mean, now I know, obviously, we'll get into the revelation of the Father and that God being your heavenly Father. But was that something you even thought about as a kid? Seeing, and I'm not, again, I don't want to, if I'm digging too much here, let me know. But you know, obviously, you're seeing other kids with dads, and you're looking, going like, I don't have a dad. Was that something that ever affected you as a kid?
Yeah, and by the way, everything's on the table. We're going all in today, all in
All right.
tonight.
Thank
So,
you, man.
in regards to that aspect, I mean, I find some things interesting as I look back on my upbringing. Number one, though there wasn't anything really traumatic happening, I would always find myself wanting to be at other people's houses. And most of these people weren't even Christians. They just had a family unit. Now that I look back at it, that was walking in the design of God, right? They had a husband, they had a mom, there were siblings, there was order, there was structure. And I remember I would be at my friends' houses for hours upon hours, and I didn't want to leave. And it's not that I had any bitterness or anger towards my mom or my family. I just actually felt connected. I actually felt like, wow, this is healthy, this is whole. And so as I got older, I started to recognize really what it was. And I know so many people are going to be familiar with this. It was an orphan spirit, right? An
Wow.
orphan spirit basically tells you no matter how good things are going on in the natural, you always think you're in lack. You always
Wow.
think you're never going to have enough. You always think that it might not turn out for you. So you always try to get as much as you can. You're always thinking about yourself. You're always looking out for yourself and nobody else. And sometimes you can even hide it where you can be a good person, but on the inside, when you're in certain
Come on.
situations, that orphan mentality, that orphan voice speaks to you and says, no, you're alone. No, you really need to go get as much as you can. Nobody's going to back you up. Nobody really cares for you, Ross. Nobody really sees you. Nobody really has value for you. And so as I got older, that orphan spirit began to have a grip on me where I literally felt so lonely, so desperate, so isolated. There was a deep wound in my soul.
Wow. And you had never, like you said, you never went to church at all growing up. So you didn't know like the stories of Jesus. Like we grew up, you know, I grew up in church and Bible school and learning all that, but you had no point of reference for God. You had no grid of God. You just were complete. Was your mom like an atheist or your mom just didn't believe in God?
Yeah, I mean, every story is unique, obviously. I would say my mom wasn't anti-God, but there was
Okay.
definitely never a conversation about God. Like, there was
Okay.
no conversation about Jesus, about church, about worship, zero. So that's why I said it's so interesting because this grid, there wasn't even a grid for me, right? Like, it's not like I had these thoughts of, like, who is this Jesus? Or is there a God? Or what about my destiny and my call? I mean, I was just going through life trying to figure it out on my own.
And now, did you have, was your mom, did your mom have a girlfriend or were you raised? I know I heard in one thing you were saying, I don't think you called the other lady your mom, but you technically were raised to an extent by two moms. And how was that?
Yeah.
Was that something that you struggled with growing up?
Yeah, so it was a really interesting situation because my mom wasn't with this lady and they got together when I was 1 year old
Okay.
and they stayed together up until I was 15. Now, here's the interesting thing and some quick context. And I always say this because I love my mom. She's been such a phenomenal mom to me. She's loved me. I mean, my mom would probably give her life for me. She's actually one of my monthly financial donors, which is crazy.
Wow, come
But
on.
and I say all that because my mom's heart is so pure towards me, but she just doesn't know the Lord. And
Yeah.
so when you don't know the Lord, you make decisions and do things without wisdom because you don't have the Holy Spirit, right? And so my mom
Good.
was with this lady from when I was 1 to 15 years old. Here's the crazy thing, bro. And as long as I forget this because I share my story so much and I just kind of forget it, but they actually split the week I got saved. So the week I got
Wow.
saved, that 15-year relationship, 14-year relationship split. It was chaos. It was definitely spiritual warfare, though at the time I had no clue what that was. But really, it was the enemy trying to get a little seed in there, trying to steal what God was trying to do in that moment. And so it was a pretty crazy week. And like you said, I didn't actually grow up calling my mom's partner mom, even before I was saved. One, it's not natural. Two, it's not God's design. And three, I just never felt that sort of connection. Though I honor her and I'm grateful for what she's done in
Wow.
my life. I never actually called her mom. I would only call my biological mom by the word mom.
So that's so interesting. Even as an unbeliever, as someone who was never in church, something in you kind of knew like this is unnatural. This is not right to have. I mean, obviously you saw friends, you knew, you know, you saw friends with the dad and the mom, But so you're saying something in you, even before you were a believer, knew this was not God's design. You know, I was teaching out of Romans last night, and Romans talks about how in your conscience, you know, the law of God. So the Jews had the law and they knew they were breaking the law because they had a physical law to look at. But the Gentiles still had no excuse because God put that conscience in their heart, on their mind. And so even somebody who's not a believer knows that they're breaking the laws of God. Their conscience tells them, something not right about this. Is that something? So you're saying, as you were growing up, there's something in you that knew, like, I just don't feel right about this. This isn't really the family structure, or am I saying that right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even, and obviously I believe the word of God, but it wasn't even necessarily that thought process. Okay. It was just like, I knew, you know, it's like, I just knew, like, it wasn't, I didn't have any thoughts of like, man, this is so wrong. This is so bad. This is so different. I just, in the depths of my core, I was like, this isn't what the design is supposed to be. Like, wow. I can never, like, it wasn't like I was trying to not call her mom. I just couldn't do it. Like, there wasn't that connection, heart connection with her, to the degree or to the capacity that I would call her mom, you know? And she would call me son and would still call me son to this day, but I still can't ever call her mom. And so I believe it's just a confirmation of that scripture, right? Like, even people who don't know the Lord, you can still know what's right, what's wrong in the design versus what's not the design. And so for me, it wasn't necessarily a thought process. I just never actually engaged in that.
That's so good. And I was thinking, do you have a special heart for young people that are, now it's becoming more popular in the next 10, 15 years, it'll become even more popular, that are being raised by, let's say, a household of lesbians or a gay couple? Is there a heart that you have for them coming out of that? Because I'm looking at your story and thinking about it. And for me, I never even considered this. I never even considered all the people right now, all the young people that are raised in like a lesbian household or a gay couple, you know, they have two dads or whatever it is. And I would assume for you is that you have a heart to reach this community. You have a heart to reach people that are in that world and maybe being raised by two moms or whatever it is. And you're like such a testimony to God can take any family. God can use any person. God can break any generational curse. God can take the least of those, the ones in the back of the line, bring them to the front of the line. And seeing how God's using you and the boldness and how God's growing your ministry and how you guys, for his glory, are seeing thousands of souls saved in California and everywhere you're going, you're just seeing these crowds and God is moving. I'm just thinking like, Lord, you have so much power to break the curse off a generational line, off a family bloodline. Like, the devil had such a plan for you, but the Lord broke it and said, no, this one's mine. The curse stops now. We're breaking the power of the enemy. And then now to see the way God is using you is just so incredible. Is there a heart there for you for this? For young people that are maybe raised in a home that you were raised in? Because I know your testimony gives hope to people that are in the chat right now. There's someone in the chat that's like, I'm raised by two moms. You know, they're in the chat right now listening. So I know your story brings such hope to people in that community.
Yeah, well, you alluded to this earlier, right? Sometimes we look at this specific community and these situations, we go, man, God, like, it seems impossible. Mm. It seems too far off. It seems like, how do we even bridge this gap? And then I have to remind myself of my own story. Yes. That even though I had no grid for Jesus, nobody in my ear sharing the gospel with me, nobody, at least to my knowledge, was making an attempt to lead me to Jesus, God still found me. He still chose me, he pursued me, and he saved me. And so I encourage people, and this is where my heart comes in, as I'm seeing this, right, you know, as I'm traveling a ton and I'm in airports, I see these lesbian couples, I see these homosexual couples with children, and I'm just thinking, this is a crazy thought. That was me 15 years ago.
Wow.
That was me 20 years ago. And though nobody might have had any clue what was going on, God knew. God saw, and nothing could stop him. And you brought up the family bloodline, right? This is what's so critical. As soon as one of these children or family members surrender to Jesus, they're no longer just under the bloodline of their family. They're in the bloodline of Christ.
Come on.
And that changes everything. That means that every curse, every sickness, every disease has to go. And so when this awareness hits our hearts where I'm like, oh my gosh, I've just become grafted into the family of God.
Come on.
I'm under the blood of Jesus. That shifts everything forever. And so I absolutely have a heart. Whenever I feel down or feel like it's impossible, I remind myself of my very own story. And I'm like, God, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. not loving our life unto death. So I am believing, I am desiring, and I've actually had a few testimonies, man, of a few people DMing me on Instagram saying, hey, I grew up in the exact same position as you. I came to Jesus. How do I talk to my parents? How do I talk to my siblings? How do I talk to my family about this? So I believe, could it be, I like the could it be questions. They stir my faith, right? Could it be that in the Jesus people movement, it was the hippies? What if this next move of God is the LGBTQ community?
Come on,
or even
do it, Lord. Do it,
that's
Lord.
That's what I'm believing for.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're radical. They're bold for what they believe in. They're unashamed for what they believe in. And you've seen some of the people in this community get saved. I've seen some of them come out of that community. And they're radical for God. They're bold for God, and we desperately need that. And we need to be praying for that. Again, my mind keeps going back to Romans, because last night I went through the whole book of Romans in an hour. So like I was sitting there doing my notes on every single chapter. But Paul talks about there, like in Romans, he says, you judge these people sin, other people sin, not realizing you yourself have sin in your life. So like the Lord, if the Lord can save you, and this is going to make some people in the chat mad that are Pharisees, but he's like, the Lord can save you in your sin, in your compromise, in your darkness, why can't the Lord do it in them? Why can't the Lord bring revival in them? So if you're in the chat right now and your heart is hard towards, let's say, the Alphabet community, and your heart is hard towards people in that world, like, if God can do it in you, why can't God do it in them? If God can take the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who is having Christians murdered, and God can save him, and God can resurrect him from that dead religion and bring him to new life, why couldn't God do it in the Alphabet community? Why couldn't God bring revival? And why can't God use them? I am praying that the most popular drag queens will become revivalists. I'm praying that the most popular and famous drag queens and whatever it could be, right? The most perverted lifestyle. I'm praying God would save them. God would deliver them. And God would use them to preach his gospel. I'll be the first one clapping. I'll be the first one cheering. I don't believe there's anyone that's too far out of the reach of God. And let me just say that to all of you in the chat. You are not too far. There's people right now in this chat thinking, I'm too far gone. I've done too much. It's such a dirty lifestyle. I'm full of shame. I believe tonight God is going to break the shame, the guilt, and the filth off of you, that dirty feeling that God can never use a person like me. Guys, when I was at the altar 13 years ago, I literally said, God, I don't effing believe in you. I cussed at God. And God responded with, Isaiah, I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose. And that is why in the book of Romans, it says, while you are a sinner, Christ died for you. It says a man might die for a good person, maybe, but Christ didn't die for good people. It was while you were sinning, while you were spitting in God's face, while you were mocking him and cursing him, Christ died for you. So I want to let everybody in the chat know, you are not too far from the reach of God's grace. You are not too far from the mercy of God. God can reach down right now, heal you, save you, and deliver you. And I'm just believing tonight that conviction will come to you. And as you're hearing Ross's story, you would go, Lord, you could do that to my life. It doesn't matter how bad my parents are. It doesn't matter how far gone they are. If God can do it in Ross, if God can do it in Isaiah, God can do it in me. So here you are in this house. Yeah, go for it. Jump in.
Yeah, can I tap into something that I think is so powerful before we kind of continue on? You kept saying it, and I never knew anybody who was praying for me, but I believe that there was somebody praying for me. Though I might not ever meet them in this life, there was somebody praying for me. There was somebody believing for me. And so could we be, as the church, maybe that kid and that family don't know you, but if you pray over them, declare the blood, declare the resurrection, release the power of the Holy Spirit, could it be that you're praying for Rosses? You're Come praying on. For people like me who never heard the name of Jesus. We're in an anti-God, you know, family household. But because of your prayers, your belief, your faith, it led to them being saved. So I just wanted to make that point. If you're like, man, I don't really know what to do, or maybe you don't know any specific couples, pray for them. Pray for them. So pray for their children. Pray for their families. Pray for those who they're maybe adopting, or they're being artificially inseminated, or whatever the case may be. Because what if your prayers are the ones that actually lead them to the Lord? So like I said, I don't know anybody that was actually praying for me, but I believe there was at least one person, whether they knew me or not, who tapped into the realm of heaven, and they were interceding for my life, for my soul, and God saved me because of that. So I just encourage you, can we be those people?
That's so incredible. I mean, just thinking about, and I'm not trying to be too raw and explicit here, but just thinking about the power of God, that a man walked into a clinic and, you know, I'll just be, I know there's kids watching, donated his seed, and walked away and didn't care, had no clue, got $300 or whatever it is they give you, walked out never thinking anything of it. And right there, God said, there's a revivalist that before you were in your mother's womb, I had a purpose and had a plan for you. I mean, that's so unbelievable to me, the redeeming power of God, the mystery of God's redeeming power, that God can use someone so powerfully. Again, that was, you know, somebody came into a clinic and donated, and then the Lord said, but I have a plan to redeem. I had a plan to restore. I had a purpose and I had a plan. And I think we always are so quick to call people out in this community, and I do it as well. And you preach against it, I preach against it. We still believe it's sinful. We still believe it's wrong. We don't justify it all. We take a stand against it. I know your ministry takes a stand against a homosexual lifestyle and the homosexual agenda in California. But at the same time, I always think before I make a video, before I preach a sermon against any sin or I call out any sin, I want to make sure that I'm praying for these people. I'm not just calling them out on videos. I'm not just posting YouTube videos saying drag queens are teaching in our school. And I think that's necessary to bring awareness and to push back and to say, no, we can't stand for this. I don't want my kids, you know, in a culture where it's okay for grown men to wear women's clothes and twerk on children. I think it's wrong. I think it's demonic. That's one way. We blow the trumpet. But before I'm blowing the trumpet, I'm praying for them. Before I'm calling them demonic, and this is demonic what they're doing, I'm praying and I'm crying out on them in the secret place, because we really need to have compassion and we need to speak with compassion, because there are a lot of, how do I say this without stepping on too many toes, political preachers and political figures on YouTube that, you know, they're mostly political, 90%, and then 10%, they sprinkle a little bit of Jesus in their content, but they're really angry about this. And you can see the anger in their voice. Every video is, you know, calling out this person and antagonizing this person. And hey, if you feel like that's God's calling to do that, who am I to say it's not? But for me, I think if that person was really praying for this community and crying out for this community, there is a level of compassion and a heartbrokenness saying, hey, if you need freedom, if you need deliverance, if you're in this community, God loves you, God cares about you, and God loves you so much, he doesn't want you living that lifestyle, because that's not the lifestyle God designed for you. So yeah, we call it out. But at the same time, I think as believers, we need to get in the secret place, and we need to pray for the gay couple. We need to pray for the drag queens to receive the grace and mercy of God. Because I go, God, if you extended your mercy to me, how much more can you extend to them as well?
Here's what I'm hearing in my heart, bro. You know, the Bible makes it clear in Ephesians, we are supposed to expose the deeds of darkness.
Yes.
100%. But exposing doesn't necessarily save somebody. Mm. What saves somebody is them hearing the gospel.
Yes.
Being prayed for, and the seeds planted in their life and in their heart come to fruit in the midst of salvation. And so I just encourage us, man. I am definitely one that exposes darkness. So are you. So are so many of you watching this, right? But if we only expose and never pray, then we're missing the heart of God.
That's
if
so
we
good.
Expose but never share the gospel, we're missing the heart of God. If we expose but never actually love the person, we're missing the heart of God, right? Because truth and love go hand in hand. If I'm all truth but not love, that's half-sided. But if I'm all about love and not truth, then that's also lopsided. So it's so vital in this season that we're living in America and in the nations, love and truth, exposing but also praying. And here's the deal. If we actually believe what the word of God says, that the prayer of the righteous availeth much, then shouldn't that mean, Paul said, I pray in the spirit at all times. He said, you should pray always. And I'm talking to myself here. So my encouragement, my challenge to myself and to everybody here is, would we be a people of prayer so much so that we're known not as much for exposing, but we're more known for praying and actually believing for people to come to Jesus?
That's so good. And I think a lot of people in this community and these lifestyles, they actually want to change. Some of them don't want to be that way. They're like, I don't know why I was this way. Did God make me this way? And so as we preach the gospel and say, hey, look, you might say, because I have a lot of them tell me, I preached every month in San Francisco for almost 9 years. And so I did a lot of services where, to be honest, and I'm not trying to be rude when I say this, I didn't know what gender people were. I was preaching. I'm like, I don't know if that person's a guy or girl. I don't know what and who or anything. And a lot of them would come up to me. I can't count how many times somebody living a trans lifestyle would come up to me. And I didn't even know they were trans. I'm in San Francisco preaching. And they would say, I don't want to be this way. I was born this way, but I don't want to be this way. Now, a loving gospel is, you might have been born that way, but you won't be born again that way. God can actually change you. It is actually not loving, Ross, to tell people, stay the same way you are. It is actually not loving for someone that says, I don't want to be this way, to say you're going to stay that way even after you're saved. The good news is you get to die and become a new person. So whether you were born gay, you think you were born gay, or you were born a liar, or you were born a thief, I'm not here to argue with you how you were born. I'm here to tell you that you're going to be born again, not gay, not a liar, not a thief, not a luster, not a fornicator. It doesn't matter which way you're born, because every person, the Bible says, must be born again. So I want to challenge some of you that maybe you're having these debates with people living a homosexual lifestyle that say, well, I was just born this way. Let them know that they won't be born again that way, and there's transforming power. To me, the love of God says, hey, this lifestyle is not of God, and God can change you, and God can redeem you, and you can be born again, and you don't have to have those desires. The Bible calls those desires unnatural and sinful, and you can be born again and become a new person. To me, that's loving, and that's what I wanted. You know, I was like, wait a minute, I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be addicted to pornography. I don't have to drink every day. You're telling me that I can be born again and have a fresh start and a new life? That's good news. Good news is not, let me repeat a prayer, invite Jesus in my heart, and then keep living in pornography, lust, drinking every day, doing drugs and partying. That is not good news. That doesn't do anything for me. Good news is I get to lay down my life, die to myself, and become a new creature in Christ. The old passed away. Behold, all things are made new. So I think the most loving message ever we can preach to the Alphabet community is, you can start over and be a new person and be the person God designed you to be. Go ahead. I know you're going to jump in there.
Yeah, no, I would just say, I said something very similar. I was like, you know, the real loving thing to do is if you see somebody on the road to destruction and death, and to not give them a solution is evil.
Come on.
You know, when you see somebody on the road to depression and anxiety and suicide and loneliness and fear and all these things, and you don't want to share the gospel with them, that's the real not loving thing to do. The loving thing to do is to say, hey, do you wonder why you're doing all these things, yet when you lay your head on the pillow at night, you feel empty?
Come on.
Hey, do you wonder why you have six figures in the bank account, but for some reason your soul is in anguish? Hey, do you wonder why you have every single woman or man you could ever want, yet for some reason you feel so depressed and hate your life? Yeah, there's a solution to that. Called this man named Jesus. It's called knowing the one who formed you in your mother's womb, who knew you from the beginning of time, who chose you and created you for a plan and purpose that will absolutely go beyond anything you could imagine. But not only that, Romans 8:18, right? Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later.
Come on.
There is a glory. There is a goodness, a blessing, a mercy. There is a place with God coming for every single born again believer that is so far beyond what we can even comprehend as humans today on the earth. And it's so glorious. It's so great. And so if you would press in past the apathy, the heartbreak, the disappointment, all these things, all the swirl of life, and say, God, you know what? I may not understand it all. I may not have it all. I might not have the best background. I might have these desires I don't want, but I'm going to give them to you. Friend, that's the most dangerous, best prayer you could ever say. And here's the last thing I'll say on this. I like to call it the great exchange, man, where you would forsake the glories of this world for the glories of the Lord. Would you say, you know what? I've tried the flesh. I've tasted the drinks. I've taken a hit of all the drugs. I've hooked up with all the people. But man, my soul is empty. God wants to make an exchange for you. He wants to take all that out of you and instead place his very own spirit in you that you may live a life full of joy, full of peace, full of love in the Holy Spirit.
So good, man. I'm fired up right now. Listen, you guys are like, I know that you guys are sharing testimony. We're both revivalists, y'all. You cannot get two revivalists on a call here and not have us preaching and not have us flowing here. So I'm loving what God is doing. So you are raised in this, for those just jumping on, raised in a lesbian household, born of artificial insemination, never met your father. And now here you are, you're about 15 years old. What happens there? And I want to hear about your salvation experience, how you got saved. And I'm also interested on, you'll probably add this in, but how did you even get into church and invited into church? For those of you just jumping on, he never went to church before. He was not raised in church. And so tell us a little bit about that now.
Yeah. So I was 15 years old. And I remember my friend, a really good friend of mine, her and her grandma would always go to church on Sundays. I don't remember if she told me in person or texted me, but she's like, hey, do you want to come to service this weekend? I said, sure, why not? You know, I'd never been my whole life. And it wasn't even this like battle or this struggle. I was just like, yeah, I'm going to go. So I go and I'm sitting in the back row. And I always say it like this now, God will get you in the back row.
Come on. I was the back row. Type one in the chat if you were in the back row. I was where they roped it off. They're like, you're not supposed to be back here. I was back there and the Lord got me.
Yeah, so I'm sitting in the back row and I remember I just go through the service and my friend asked me like, you know, did you like the service? And I didn't really know how to respond, but here's what I did know. I know that for the first time in my life, I felt peace.
Wow.
For the first time in my life, I felt destiny. I felt hope. I felt seen. I felt a calling. And so I remember going home that night, and you know, that was about 13 years ago. So keep in mind, I had never had a conversation with God. I had never
Wow.
had a dialogue with Jesus or the Holy Spirit. My first prayer was, God, what am I doing? You know,
Wow.
God, what do I even do here? You know, I'm just in my room. But here's what really was happening as I look back on it. In my heart, what this dialogue was God, please don't let me be a good person who reads a good book and goes to a good church. God, I have to know you. I have to experience you. And some of the language I have for it now as I've matured is, God, I don't want it to just be a head knowledge, but a heart revelation.
Yes.
I don't want it just to be some wisdom and knowledge and good thoughts. No, I want to encounter your presence. I want to encounter your face. I want to know you. I want to see you. And so long story short, I go in my room after that Sunday service for multiple nights in a row, and I just would sense that same presence over and over and over again. And so the next time I went back to church, I remember the pastor said, hey, if you want to give your life to Jesus, you know, bow your head, close your eyes, which is a whole nother topic because I don't necessarily do that anymore. But praise God, in that moment, I said, you know what, Jesus, here's my life. I raised my hand. I had no clue what I was signing up for.
Wow.
I never read the Bible. I didn't know anything. But here's what I knew. My life wasn't working. I was tired of living the way I was living. And I believed God was real. I believed Jesus was real. And I wanted him in my heart and in my life.
Wow. That's incredible. Now, what did your mom think about you going to church?
Once again, so many interesting aspects to this story, but at the time I was too young to drive, so guess who had to drive me to church?
Wow.
My mom. She would drive me to church, go back home, come back, pick me up, take me back. And so once again, just to prove the point of how great of a my mom is to me and how much she supports me, but at the same time, there was never a personal engagement in her heart with the Lord. And so that's what I'm believing for till this day.
And people were asking in the chat, what is your relationship like with your mom now? You said she financially supports your ministry, which is awesome. Obviously, she sees your stuff on social media. Obviously, she sees your stance. She knows what the Bible says about the lifestyle that she's living and you were raised in. What is your guys' relationship like? And how did she react to you being like, hey, mom, God's changed my life and this is what I'm doing now?
Hopefully these two stories really paint the picture clear. Number one, my mom will literally text me sometimes before I go to preach and text me, go get him, son.
Wow.
Right. Or number two, I remember I posted a video on my channel about how I overcame a porn addiction. And I remember my mom called me and she called me weeping, literally crying. She said,
Wow.
I tried my best to protect you and to shield you. Like, how could this happen? And I just kept it real with my mom. I was like, Mom, listen, you love me. You did your best. However, when there's not a spiritual authority in the household, there is a real spiritual realm and it can do what it wants if there's nobody taking authority over it. And so a spirit of lust came upon me and consumed my life for 9 years, right?
Wow.
Another story is I remember I was hanging out with her recently and just asking her questions. And I just was straight up with her and I just started talking to her, like, what's holding you back from Jesus? And just having a real conversation with her. And so, long story short, my mom and I have a phenomenal relationship. I
Wow.
pray for her. I bless her. I love her. I hang out with her when I can. And I know that there is a moment coming where the
Yes.
same way I encountered the Father, she will encounter the Father.
Yes, she will be saved. I know people in the chat are saying they're going to be praying for her, but we believe
Oh,
she will
thank
be
you.
saved in Jesus' name. And if you have an unsaved parent, commit
Yes.
yourself to pray for them. You know, commit yourself. My dad went through a super rough season where he kind of turned his back on God and was living out in the world, which was not like him because he was living clean and right his entire life. And we prayed him back in. We were like, nope, my dad, there's no way my dad's gonna die unsaved. There's no way my dad's gonna stay in the world. And when my dad came back to the Lord and got relit on fire, and this has been years and years now, he's been serving the Lord again on fire and clean and all of that. We were like, we prayed you back in, Dad. We were not going to allow, you know, the enemy to keep our family captive. Jesus talks about the strong man, you know, has the house of goods, and how can we plunder his house? He has our relatives, he has our friends and our family. Only the stronger man, only Jesus can do this work and overcome the power of the enemy. The Bible says the devil has blinded the mind of unbelievers. So we have to pray, Lord, take the blinder off our parents. So if you're in the chat listening, I think a lot of us sometimes, and I'm not trying to be harsh when I say this, but it is harsh, we are delusional because we think God is going to save our family that we don't pray for. So we get mad at God saying, Lord, why haven't you saved my dad? And I want you to ask yourself, have you even committed any time in prayer for him? Like, are we actually interceding for our family, or are we just thinking, well, God's just going to do it if God wants to do it? Guys, we actually have to intercede. We have to contend, we have to pray, and we have to bug the judge. There's many parables talking about prayers being answered are not based on our relationship with God. They're based on our shameless persistence. We ask until he answers. We knock until he opens. We seek until we find. The Bible talks about that widow. She keeps bugging the judge. And the judge is like, I don't even want to answer this lady, but I'm going to do it because she won't stop bugging me. Or the man at midnight, right? He's knocking on the door. And the guy's like, hey, my kids are sleeping. And the guy won't stop knocking. I need bread. And the Bible says he gives the man bread, not because they're friends, but because he won't stop knocking. So sometimes God says, this is biblical, it sounds weird to say, but sometimes God says, I'm not even gonna answer your prayer because you're my son, or because I love you, or because we have a close relationship. I'm gonna answer because you're so shamelessly persistent, you won't stop asking. So I dare somebody every single day to go to God and say, Lord, it's been 10 years, but here I am again, save my dad. When are you going to save my mom? When are you going to revive? Yeah. And I've seen shameless persistence break through so many times, like years. I've prayed for some people 10 years. And I'm like, Lord, when are you going to do it? And then one day there's a breakthrough. One day the Lord answers. Well, why doesn't God just answer now? Because his ways are not our ways. God knows the right timing, the right moment where he can get maximum glory, maximum credit. Jesus, why was this man born blind? Was it his dad's sin, his mother's sin? And Jesus says, no, he was born blind so that the glory, the power, the majesty, the revelation of God can be revealed right now. It was for this moment where God would get maximum glory and maximum credit. So I am believing for everyone in the chat that's contending for their family, they will be saved in Jesus' name. Do not lose hope. Well, they're getting worse. Hey, sometimes things get worse before they get better. Sometimes it's in the depth of our sin that we find the foot of the cross. And so I really believe if you're praying for your family, hey, keep praying. We're believing for Ross's mom. We're believing for Crystal's dad. We're believing for Mariah's mom. We're believing for Diane's dad. All of you in the chat that are believing, keep believing. Don't be discouraged. God is doing a work. I don't know if you want to throw in any to that, Ross, but I believe that shameless prayer is how we're going to see, you know, prayers answered.
I'll just throw this in there. There's this thought that's been coming to mind recently in the last couple of weeks about the suddenlies of God. You know, suddenly the Red Sea parted. Suddenly the Jericho walls came down. Suddenly when Jesus was on that cross and the earth shook and the, you know, the rocks were split into two, the Roman guard said, oh my gosh, he was a son of God. Suddenly he rises from the dead. Mary's talking to him, doesn't even know who she's talking to. And all of a sudden she goes, oh my gosh, Rabbi, you know, the kingdom of God, there is absolutely processes. There's absolutely years and there's grit, but there is also the suddenly.
Yes.
There's also the moments where God flips it all around in an instant. I mean, think about your own life. Think about your own story. For decades or years, you were in sin, you were in darkness, you're in whatever you want to put in that box, and God flipped it in a moment with the revelation of Jesus. And so what I am believing for my family, for your family, for even yourself watching this, could it be you're in a suddenly moment with God, that prayer away, you're one word away, you're one healing away, you're one encounter, one moment, one second, one breath away from God flipping it all around in a moment. Here's what the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, that we receive the promises of God by faith. Faith means I believe who you say you are and you will do what you said you will do. And so I encourage you, we just release the gift of faith over you right now in the name of Jesus. The gift of faith that can only please God, that can only save you, and then the only way you can receive the promises of God. And so I encourage you, keep praying, keep believing. And here's a little pro tip I'll just add in real quickly. Take communion over your family and over your life every day. When I wake up, sometimes we take communion once a month, or we just kind of see it as some crackers and some grape juice. No. I believe, I got this from Papa Lou Engel, that when Jesus was talking about communion, it's an invitation, like, come and be with me. Remember me. And so I'm taking communion over my family. Lord, I declare the broken body of Jesus, that no sickness can touch me or my family. Lord, I declare the blood of the Lamb, that your forgiveness would come into my family, that you would tear the veil over their eyes, that you would soften their hearts to see Jesus. You know, you start praying like that, man, it shifts the atmosphere and it shifts things over your family and over your life.
That's so good. We need revival, guys. And I was thinking about what you just said of, like, you believe someone was praying for you. And for me, actually, my cousin put, you know, they at the church a couple months before I got saved, they were like, hey, we're going to put our family members' names on a cross. And they all, we've all seen that where they pin the post-it note on the cross and we're going to commit them to prayer. Well, my cousin put me on the cross. She put my name on a sticky note I didn't know people were praying for me. When I found out, I was like, why were people praying for me? You know, I had my whole life together on the outside, but inwardly, spiritually, yeah. I was bankrupt. I was dead. But she put me on that cross. And a few months later, I got saved. I had parents. I had grandparents. My grandma used to say, hey, Isaiah, do you still want to be a preacher? I'd bring my girlfriend over her house. And my grandma would say, do you still want to be a preacher? And I'm like, no, grandma, that was when I was little. I would leave my grandma's house and tell my girlfriend, yeah, my grandma's she's a little bit crazy. She thinks I'm going to be a preacher, but she was praying for me. My mom and dad were praying for me. And all of these people's prayers, God responded. And for me, guys, catch this. It was a suddenly for me. Suddenly, God spoke to me and changed my life. But for them, it wasn't a suddenly. And so I was thinking about when you were just talking, I'm like, I look at the upper room. That's one of the greatest suddenlies in the Bible where it says suddenly the sound of a mighty rushing wind, you know, the tongues come. But then I was thinking about it. If I was the other disciples, I probably would have said, Luke, why did you write suddenly? We were in there for 10 days. For them, it wasn't suddenly. Luke's writing down suddenly. And they're like, what do you mean suddenly, bro? We've been here for 10 days. They were 10 days contending in prayer in the upper room. You know, 500 got invited, 120 showed up, 380 of them missed their moment, missed their opportunity. And I can imagine as Luke is writing suddenly, the other disciples are like, suddenly, we were in there for 10 days. And so there is a contending, like you just said, there is fighting. For them, it's suddenly. For your mom, it's going to be suddenly. For your family, it's going to be suddenly. But we're putting in the work. We're planting the seed. We're watering.
Great word.
Some water, some plant. But God is bringing the increase. So here you are now, jumping back in, 15 saved. Where do you go from there? You're 29 now, if I'm getting that right. Okay, you're 29 now. How do you go from 15? And then I also want to know this. You're not just like saved right now. You're not just like some pastor. You're not just like, you know, some influencer. You are a revivalist. You are a radical, on fire preacher. Try not to be rude. There's guests that I have on my show, and I'm sure you've been on some interviews. I've seen you on some interviews where it's like, hey, the person interviewing you, they're amazing, but they're not revivalists. You know, it's like I've been on shows where I'm like, hey, these people interviewing me are great, but they're not radical. They're not like preaching, we got to go all in. We need to see deliverance. We need to see miracles. So you are like, you're not just saved and going to church right now. You are on fire for God, Ross. You are radical for the kingdom. You are preaching outside. You're preaching on the streets. You're casting out demons. You're healing the sick. I'm very interested in how you go from 15, now you're going to church, to where you are today, this on fire, like revivalist that's doing these street revivals in California.
Yeah, we're going to make a 14-year journey happen in 2 minutes. All right, buckle up. Put the seatbelt on. Let's do this thing, right? So yeah, I get saved. I graduate high school about a year later. And I remember, you know, I was so new in the faith, so I didn't really know how to discern the voice of God yet. I grew up in Los Angeles. I went to college in San Diego, and I ended up living there for 9 years. But something happened in that 9 years, right? So I'm in college for 4 years. I get my business degree. Nothing really traumatic happens. Once again, praise God. I graduate college, and then all of a sudden this thought hits me. I have to pay this thing called rent. Anybody ever heard of rent before?
Preach. It hurts. Right?
And so I was like, oh my gosh, I have to be a man. I have to work. I have to figure this thing out. And so here's what happened. Because I wasn't rooted in a local church, because I wasn't spending time in intimacy with God every single day, because I wasn't consecrating myself, as soon as life didn't go the way I wanted it to go, I said, God, you know what? I'm going to put you on pause and I'll come figure you out later. I started playing the blame game with God. God, I don't have the money I want. I don't have the car I want. I don't have the girlfriend I want. I don't have the house I want, yada, yada, yada. And so what happens is when you play that blame game, bitterness takes over your heart, and then you stop being in intimacy with the Lord.
Wow.
And so from about 2016 to 2020, I made a choice to walk out of intimacy with God. And it was the worst 4 years of my life, and it will always be the worst 4 years of my life.
Wow.
But here's the deal, and I remember this moment so clearly. 2020 comes. We like to forget that year. I don't want to forget it because I don't want it to happen again, right? And 2020 comes. There's all this tension and all these crazy things happening in America and in the nations, and I remember as clear as day, the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says, Ross, if you do not stand now, you never will. Now listen, wow. I love the father heart of God. I love Abba. But this was not a daddy God type of moment.
Come on.
This was a stern father looking at his son saying, Ross, you have a decision to make that's going to impact you not only today, but for the rest of your life. And so like many of us, I'm weeping. I'm on my floor, on my knees saying, God, I repent. I turn from my sin. I'm so sorry. Whatever you want to do with my life, here I am. Send me. And so long story short, I start going to every revival I can in California, which in 2020, there was not a lot of revivals going on in California. And I remember I walked into this tent revival And I see this guy leading worship on stage, and the Lord tells me you need to connect with him. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. We just simply are mutual Instagram friends. Another long story short, we become friends. His name is Joel. And we decided, you know what? We both have this burning desire for California. We got to do something. And so we show up at Huntington Beach, that famous beach here in Orange County, in August of 2021. We had no permits. The cops are coming up to me. I'm like, I got the permit of heaven. What's up?
Come on, come on.
You know, we're showing up. We don't have a ministry. I had never really preached a day in my life. And all of a
Wow.
sudden,
And this is 2021.
2021. Yep.
Wow.
And
Sorry, go
all of a
ahead.
sudden, 300 people show up and we're on the beach. People are literally coming off the boardwalk, getting delivered. Literally, I look at this guy. I say, "Hey, what's going on with you?" He said, "I'm drug addicted. I'm alcohol addicted. My wife and I are struggling in our marriage. What do I do to get right with God?" Boom. He gets saved, stands up, looks at his wife face to face, and repents for everything he'd ever done wrong in his marriage, right? We
Wow.
baptize people in the ocean. People are coming up to me, "Ross, how long have you been a pastor?" You know what I said? 30 minutes.
Come on.
Ross, what church is this? I'm like, bro, I literally started going back to church like 8 months ago.
Wow.
And so Joel and I start becoming really good friends, and we just start talking, and we're like, man, God, this is a movement. God is birthing something. And so we named it California Will Be Saved. And for the last 3 years now, we've been traveling all up and down California doing these outdoor revival events. And the last thing I'll say, and of course, if you have questions, you know, let's go in deeper, but we started with about 200 people showing up at a gathering. And then last year in July, we got this permit to shut down Hollywood Boulevard. Yes, you heard that.
Come
Right in front of the
on.
Chinese theater, right there on the Walk of Fame. And we went from 200 people to 2,000 Christians showed up on Hollywood Boulevard. It was absolutely insane, absolutely incredible. And so here we are. We're still going, no stop in sight, believing now is the time for revival here in the Golden State.
That is amazing. So you didn't even have time to think about it. You just went straight into full-time ministry and you've been blazing ever since. I thought for whatever reason, it's been years and years and years, but 2021 revival breaks out right there in Huntington Beach. And you guys have been going hard ever since. Now, were you doing something? I'm curious, what were you doing for a living before that? Like, you know, there's a gap there of years of obviously you're doing something besides full-time ministry. What were you doing before that? And now you're in full-time ministry and doing these events.
So from 2016 to 2020, when I walked out of intimacy with God, I was actually working at a gym. So I was a personal trainer. Now, here's something crazy. I'm so glad you brought that up, and I believe it's the Lord. I wasn't even walking with God, didn't want anything to do with him, yet he was still forming me and shaping me. How do I know
Wow.
that? It was like a group training gym where I was on a mic leading classes, you know, teaching people
You're
how to do
preaching.
fitness. And I was connecting, I was learning sales, I was learning communication, and God was literally shaping and forming me to be a preacher in a moment where I didn't want him and I couldn't even see it. That's
Wow.
how much grace and mercy he has for our lives. Then 2020 comes, and I actually got a job to work for social media marketing and learn how to use social media up until
God
revival
training
broke
you
out.
again.
Exactly. So God literally gave me the physical communication gift and then taught me how to use social media to advance his kingdom in a season of my life that I was literally rebelling against him. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that is crazy. What an amazing story. So now you're doing these, did you say California Will Be Saved events? You guys are doing outdoors, some indoors, I believe, as well. People are showing up. God is moving. Now, is this like you have worship, then you're giving the gospel message? Hey, who wants to get prayer? What do some of these services look like? And then I'm interested in your thoughts on miracles, on deliverance. I mean, you're a revivalist, so obviously it sounds like you believe in it, you're doing it. And then after that, I would love to discuss as well some testimonies, if there's any that just come to mind, some testimonies. And then we're going to pray for those in the chat that want to experience revival in their life. And I really believe tonight something special is going to happen. But yeah, let's talk about the services, what they look like, and then maybe some testimonies as
Totally.
well.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly a pretty simple format. It's like simple but profound, right? So we start off, and we are massive believers in the local church. I believe many
Awesome.
revivalists lose sight of the local church, and that's why they burn out, or that's why God cuts them out. And
Wow,
so
so
I
good.
say it like this: if revival doesn't flow to the local church, then you miss God's heart. Because God's plan to destroy the demonic agenda in America and in the nations is the local church. Now,
Amen.
revivalists and gatherings outside are a part of that, but they're not the only thing. So we are massive believers in the local church. So I say that because we open up every single gathering with at least 10 to 20 local pastors who pray on stage, and we honor them, and we
That's
bless them. So that's the
awesome.
first thing we start off with. Second thing is we do worship. Worship is our weapon. Second Chronicles 20, when the worship begins, the enemy begins to scatter, right? So we do worship, and then I usually preach the gospel, simple gospel, 10 minutes. This is who Jesus was, is, and what he's going to do. Then we go into an altar call. And then after that, we start flowing in the prophetic. Sometimes it's focused on deliverance. Sometimes it's focused on words of knowledge. Sometimes it's focused on healing. It really just depends on the flow of that night. And then we usually finish with, we go into what we like to call party mode. Come on. So we go into high praise and we dance on the head of the devil, become undignified like David. And then we always, always, always finish with baptisms, because I don't know if you know this. Well, I know you know this, and so many of us know this, but baptism isn't just a Christian getting dunked in some water to take a cute picture.
Come on.
Baptism is what the Bible says in Romans 6, is you literally join Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. So this is what I ask people when they go into the baptismal. I say, what do you want to be buried and die in here and never come back in your life? Because when you get out of that water, guess what? It's not coming with you.
So good.
And so that's the typical flow. And then we also have a moment where we plug in all those new believers to local pastors and churches in the area.
That's so good. Man, talk about being a good steward of the harvest. And I just told you earlier, but I'm like, I need to get to one of these events. I need to get some of that fire, get refilled there. That sounds amazing what God is doing. Guys, for all of you that think California is falling into the ocean, grab your surfboards, because revival is happening. The move of God is happening. You guys think that California is too far gone in this. God can spare. If God can spare Nineveh, which if you guys don't know, they were literally skinning people alive and making pyramids out of people's skulls. They were incredibly wicked, one of the most wicked cities in existence, and God spared them. Can't God spare California? Now, I know you guys think, well, once Gavin Newsom's out of office, hey, God can do it with Gavin Newsom in office, out of office, at the golf course, don't matter where he's at. God can move and God can save California. California will be saved in Jesus' name. I'm so glad you're doing this. I've been out here plowing since 2011 thinking, man, Lord, raise up the remnant. And I'm so excited. There is a remnant, a radical, bold remnant being raised up. And I love what you said about deliverance, about healing, about miracles. So you guys are just, I mean, dumb question coming in right here, but just full spirit filled. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do. We're giving you a platform. I would guess this is like non-denominational, the ministry. And it's just let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I say it like this, you know, it's so interesting when we start talking about deliverance and healing, because there's so many quote unquote opinions, but I keep it simple. If it was in the life of Jesus, then it's supposed to be in my life.
Yes.
It's literally that simple. Jesus casted out devils. He healed the sick. He actually did something that was incredible. It says that every single person that he prayed for or that touched him was healed. Not only that, not only did he cast out devils, when they saw him, they would shriek. Not only when he went after them, no. Just his presence alone actually manifested them. So for us, what we believe is we're not looking for the devil under every rock, but we understand that the devil is real, that demons are real. And we believe that when you get in an atmosphere with pure worship and the proclamation of the gospel and the freedom of the Holy Spirit to move, well, deliverance is easy. It's not this task and this hardship and this, I got to wait for 2 hours. No. It's like, the presence of God, who also is the greatest deliverer, by the way, when he's present, deliverance flows.
So good.
And so for us, we're just really waiting on God. God, is there a specific focus that you want us to go after tonight? Is there a specific heart issue that's on your heart? Because when you go into different regions, and you know this, right? Different regions typically have different issues or different things going on in that city. So we're open for everything, but we want to specifically focus on what that stronghold is in that city or in that region.
That's so good. Now, is there any testimonies that come to mind, healing, deliverance, revival that you can think of that you'd want to share? And then we'll pray for those in the chat that God would just light a fire in them.
Oh, man. You know, there's so many testimonies.
I know.
Right?
This is the hardest question. I actually don't like when people ask me this. Like, can you share some testimonies? I'm like, oh, where do we start? There's, you know.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll share the few that really resonate or stand out the most. Number one, we're in San Francisco in 2022 in the Tenderloin District. If you don't know what that is, just Google it and you'll be shocked. I couldn't even believe that existed in America. It's literally about a couple mile radius.
Unless you're a kid, don't Google it. It's that bad.
Yeah.
If you're a child, do not Google Tenderloin. But if you're an adult, it's crazy.
Yeah. And so we're there. We set up in the heart of the Tenderloin District. And we start preaching the gospel. This couple gets saved. And obviously we see people get saved. So we're so, you know, it's so amazing. But then a team member comes up to me and says, Ross, did you know that this couple, they were literally walking by the gathering on their way to a satanic ritual, some sort of satanic gathering. They heard the worship. They stopped. A team member approached them because they could tell, obviously, they weren't there for the gathering. Long story short, prayed for them. The lady's back got healed from a car accident. Then they continue to stay a little bit longer. I go up and share the gospel, and they're the first two to respond. So talk about going from the kingdom of darkness to the
Come
kingdom of light
on.
And the suddenlies of God. This couple is literally walking to a satanic gathering or ritual, gets healed, saved, and delivered in a matter of a couple hours. I mean, it's absolutely
Wow, that's
incredible, right?
incredible. Wow.
The second story I think that really resonates with me. I mean, it's so hard because I'm coming up to so many, but there's
You're
this
good.
this girl that was at our gathering, and she was demon oppressed and possessed. And she's actually still a good friend to this day, and she shared with us what happened. She comes to the gathering, the gospel is being preached, she blacks out, literally blacks out during the gospel, and she starts hearing voices in her head. And during this moment, as I hear this story, I literally remember her. She was screaming at the top of her lungs, screaming, manifesting during the gospel being preached. Well, she gives her life to Jesus. The devil gets casted out of her. She gets baptized that night, and now she's
Wow.
literally a full-time missionary here in California. And
Come
not only that,
on.
her family member came to the next gathering of ours and got saved. I mean, come on, this is
It's
absolutely incredible,
amazing.
right? I'll share one more story. I think one more story that really stands out to me is I remember at our first gathering ever, the one in Huntington Beach, I shared the story of that guy. There was this little five-year-old girl. Now, how many know five-year-old children don't know
That's
Christianese,
right.
right? They don't know that. But this little girl was with her mom, happened to be at the beach, and she literally held on, like hugged one of our team members for 20 minutes straight. And our team member said, "What is going on?" And this little girl says, "I don't want to leave because I feel the presence of God." And her mom is awkwardly trying to be like, "Hey, like we gotta go." Like doesn't really know how to respond, but this five-year-old girl knew that Jesus was there and that the presence of God was tangible and would not leave. And so those are just some of the
Wow.
stories of what God's doing here in California.
Amazing. Now, I already know what everybody in the chat's thinking, gonna ask, and we're about to pray, guys. So just settle down here. How do we get to one of these events? Where are they? People want to go right now. The event's not happening right now, guys. We're live, but everyone's asking, where can we find these events? And if we want to attend one, how do we do that?
Yeah, so there's two options. Number one is all my social media. You can just find me, my first and last name, Ross Johnston with two N's because somebody took my original name.
I was gonna ask you about that too. Okay, so
Yeah, so
guys.
Ross Johnston with two N's. And then you can also look up the ministry on all the social media platforms. If you literally just type in California will be saved, you'll find us. You'll see all our events. You'll see our website. You'll see what's coming up next. And so that's the best way to stay connected and get to an event.
That's so awesome. And I have his YouTube channel linked in the description. So from his YouTube channel, guess what, guys? You can find the links to all of his other stuff. So make sure you check out his YouTube and subscribe. Let's pray for those that are hungry
Yeah.
for revival. I'm one included, hungry for awakening. I think
Me
about
too.
what God did in my living room in 2011, 2012, 2013, where hundreds of people would come every week to my living room and see miracles and deliverances and revival. And then we went 10 years of just seeing the move of God every week, seeing people get out of wheelchairs, seeing
Come
deliverance
on.
breaking out. God has done such an amazing thing in California. God is doing an amazing work. God is using you right now to bring revival, to spark revival in churches and the nation. And I'm excited about it. But it's not just about Ross. It's not just about
Right.
Isaiah, because there's many of you that this is your moment to say,
Come
yes,
on.
God, you can use me. We can start a chain reaction tonight with the thousands of people that are on here, the thousands that will watch the show. We can start a chain reaction wherever you are, saying, Lord, I'm available. And one of the greatest places to make available is your house, is to
That's
say,
right.
God, I'm going to start praying in my house. I'm going to invite the neighbors over. I'm going to invite my friends and family. Guys, if you want to see a move of God, one of the most powerful things you can do is literally group text your family and say, hey, on Tuesday night, on Wednesday night, on Thursday night, we're just going to have some fellowship and prayer at our house if you want to come. And you have 20 family members come, you turn on some worship music, you turn the lights down, and you just start walking around praying and laying hands. I am telling you, the atmosphere is right for revival in prayer. When you get into prayer and God begins to move, you will see revival. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Tell God tonight, God, I'm available. God, will you use me in this generation for revival and awakening? And for some of you tonight, maybe you're in here lukewarm. Maybe you've lost that fire. Maybe you've lost that passion. Maybe you've lost that zeal. God is going to reignite you tonight. God
Come
wants to
on.
light the fire on the altar of your heart. Put your body, as Romans 12 says, on the altar of living sacrifice and say, Lord, you can use me in this generation. Guys, don't miss out. What you said earlier, Ross, where God was basically like, and this is the way I interpreted it. Maybe I interpreted it wrong, but like, hey, Ross, this is your moment right now. Don't miss this. This is a calling for you. And if you say no, I'll raise someone else up and you're going to miss it. Yeah. And I felt that in my life in 2011, when the Lord said, Isaiah, I have a calling for you. I really feel like if I said no that night, I would have missed my calling. I really feel there's moments where God invites us. If you look at the parable of the wedding banquet, he didn't keep resending the invite. Some of you think God's going to keep resending the invite. Hey, you got to stop putting God on do not disturb. You got to stop silencing God when he calls you, thinking he'll call me back. Hey, what if God doesn't call you back? The Bible says, call upon the Lord while he can be found. There's coming a day where maybe that calling won't be there. Maybe God will pass you by. We don't ever preach that. God passed people by. In scripture, you got to be desperate, like the woman of the issue of blood that says, I'm not going to let God pass me by. God, if you're not going to touch me tonight, then I'm going to reach out and touch you. If you're not going to bless me, I'm going to be like Jacob. I'm going to wrestle you until you bless me. When God says, let me go, I'm not letting you go, God. I'm going to wrestle you tonight until you bless me. So I'll open up in prayer, and then Ross, whatever you feel, you can feel free to pray.
Can Father, I just
go for it.
Yeah, can I say one quick thing before we pray? I want to just say this real quick. What is revival? Because we're going to pray for it in a sec, but you're like, what is revival? I believe revival is when the church is revived back to first love for Jesus, like Isaiah just said. Number two, it's when the lost who don't know Jesus are revived back to life because they surrendered their life to him. But number three, it's the reformation of society. If we have revival services that don't touch outside the four walls of the church, all we did is have a cute Christian powwow. That's right. So as we pray right now, we are praying, believing that that spirit of revival that touched my life, touched Isaiah's life, took us from our neighborhood to the nations is going to be imparted into you. So go ahead, bro. Let's do this.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray tonight, God, that you would light fires in people's heart. God, I pray tonight, and I really feel this, those that have a heart of stone, like I used to have, Ezekiel says, God will give you a heart of flesh. I pray, Lord, right now that you give people that have a heart of stone a burning heart, like the man on the road to Emmaus that said, did our heart not burn when he read us the scripture? God, I want a burning heart, Lord. God, I want an appetite for your word. I want an appetite for prayer. Father, I pray that you baptize those in fire. I pray you baptize those in the Holy Spirit tonight, God. I pray you would awaken hearts like the church where their flame was dying. And you said, strengthen what remains and is about to die. Father, I pray that they would strengthen what little remains. God is calling some of you. He's telling what he told the church, he told Israel in the book of Jeremiah. I remember you. I miss you. You used to be so excited and so passionate. God is calling you back to that place of passion, that place of excitement. God is calling you to take the cobwebs out of the secret place and to walk in holiness, to walk in his power and in his spirit. Father, we're so desperate, God. We're so hungry. I pray, Lord, give us burning hearts. God, let our heart break for the lost. Let our heart break for those that are broken and unsaved and in debauchery and in sin and held captive by the devil. I pray, God, that you would let our heart break for what your heart breaks for. God, I pray tonight, raise up revivalists, God. Raise up those that would walk in awakening, God. Raise up those that would walk in deliverance and healing, that they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I just pray, Holy Spirit, release boldness, release fire. I pray the gift of repentance would be released. The Bible says nobody comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. And right now, Lord, I pray, draw all men unto you. Jesus, you are worthy of your sacrifice. Jesus, you are the high prize. You are the high priest. You are the one worthy of laying our life down for. That God, nothing is wasted when we give it to you. So I just pray, God, conviction. I pray boldness. I pray fire tend over every person watching, Lord. Just touch him in Jesus' name. Whatever you got, Ross, feel free. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
I promise I'm going to pray, but I just keep hearing things. I just keep hearing things,
right? Come on,
go for it. I have never met somebody who's preaching the gospel consistently in their everyday life, and their life is in shambles. Mm. And so as I pray right now, as Isaiah just prayed, if you're like, okay, this spirit of revival is going to hit you, like, what do I do? Just start preaching the gospel at your grocery store. Start sharing the gospel with your family. Start sharing the gospel at your workplace. And when you begin to open your mouth, God will fill it. God will do things. If you never open your mouth, it doesn't matter how many hands get laid on you. It doesn't matter how many prophetic conferences you go to. It doesn't matter what deliverance course you took. Until your mouth is open, God will not do anything. It's just that simple. So, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for the spirit of revival to mark every person watching right now and who will watch later. We declare burning hearts to arise again.
Yes.
And we say that the embers of last season are not designed for this season. So we ask for a fresh fire of the Holy Ghost right now. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. That word baptism means to be immersed and submerged. So God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus to be immersed consumed and overwhelmed by your consuming passion and fire. And
Yes.
I declare, Lord, every orphan spirit, we sever your ties over every person watching right now. And we say, who the Son has set free is free indeed. And the truth will set you free. So, Father, release your truth, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Reveal the Son, reveal Jesus, reveal salvation in the name of Jesus right now. And we
Thank
declare
you,
over every single person watching that that spirit of revival would mark you to burn in a way you've never burned before. So I just declare over you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, the fire of God be released right now. Be
yes.
released right now. Come, Holy Spirit, fresh breath of God, fresh wind of God, come now in power, come in glory, come in love. Power, glory, and love be released right now. And lastly, I just declare all of this in the blood of Jesus. You are set free. You are set free. You are set free. So we declare the blood of the Lamb over every person watching. All sickness go. All
Come
demonic
on.
Presence go. All unclean spirits go. And we say through the broken body of Jesus, every single person would be healed. And we
yes.
declare, Lord, that as you have been resurrected, so are we. We are resurrected to new life. So Holy Spirit, seal this tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And guys, I want to really challenge you that God's sparking something in you. God's igniting a conviction, a hunger, a desire for revival and awakening. You actually have to do something now. So we don't want to just sit around. God is giving us instructions. It's time to get in the place of prayer. Where do I start? Now, for me, when I got saved that night, I was, again, an atheist 15 minutes or whatever in the service, and then I got radically saved. I didn't know what to do. I was like, what should I do? And the Lord told me to pray 1 hour a day. That was the only instruction I had. He said, Isaiah, pray 1 hour a day and I'll show you. And so some of you, you need to commit an hour a day to prayer and say, God, I'm going to give you this time in prayer and I'm going to trust that in that place of prayer, God is going to give me my instructions. God is going to give me my marching orders. Everything that has happened in my life, everything I've ever done for God or ministry, anything, God gave me direction and instruction in the place of prayer. Don't be mad that God isn't giving you instruction if you're not spending time with the God who's going to give you the instruction. Like, I just don't know why I'm not hearing God. Well, have you been in the secret place? Because that's where the Bible says God is. So how can you hear somebody that you're not with in the secret place? So I want to challenge some of you, if you're struggling saying, I don't know what God wants for my life. Now, everybody has the general call to fulfill the Great Commission, okay? Every one of you are called to share your faith. Every one of you are called to lay hands on the sick. Every one of us are called to cast out demons. We're all called to the general call of the Great Commission, but we all have also specific callings. How do I find my specific calling? Getting connected to God. Getting in the secret place where God is going to reveal his plan for you. Getting in his word where God is going to reveal his plan for you. So if we don't do those things, I think we think, I'm just going to come to revival service and an altar. And that's amazing. And there's a place for that. We need to be at revival service. We need to be at the altar. We need to be on these live streams. We're obviously doing this because we believe that there's power and that this works and we're communicating the gospel. But it also takes work. Remember, the Bible says, if you say you have faith, show me by your works. So we don't just want to say, oh, I have faith. I was in the channel. I was on the podcast. I also want to connect works to what I say I believe God for. And so let's work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let's put the effort in. Is there any final thoughts you have, Ross, before I get you off here? Again, maybe share where they can find you and find your events. What an awesome show, bro. And I really do look forward to doing stuff together in the future. I feel like this is a start of a brotherhood, a start of a friendship. And like I said, bro, I just want to show up to one of your events. I don't need to preach. I don't need to be on stage. I don't need to be on a flyer. None of that. I'm not looking for none of that. I just want to be there where God is moving, see the move of God. I'm down to be in the sound booth as long as I get to experience the move of God. I don't have to have any type of, you know, oh, you need to come have me up or anything. I just love what God is doing in your ministry and I just want to receive from it. And so any final thoughts that you might have?
Man, my final thoughts are sometimes if you don't know what to do, just get in the building. My whole journey started where I didn't know God was going to call me to be a preacher, but I got in the building. I got to the revival service. I got to the altar. I got to that house gathering. I got to that worship night. So get in the building. Number two, and last thing I promise I'll say, you bring a preacher on, you're going to get preaching.
Come on, go ahead. Go. We got time, bro.
I just believe the Lord is releasing the four L's. He's our Lord. He's our lover. He's the Lamb and he's the Lion. And so if you don't know what to do, ask the Lord, what expression am I in this season? For some of you, you've been weeping a lot, and it's like the Lamb of God is the realest thing in your life. But for some of you, you feel like you're in this passion and this intensity. Could it be the Lion of the tribe of Judah inside of you because we're in a wartime to take a stand for America, for our families, and for the
Come
church?
On.
So ask the Lord, what L in my what's the priority of this season, right? And then lastly,
Good.
once again, if you want to stay connected, you want to get to an event, all those amazing things, just type in my first and last name, Ross Johnston with two N's on any social media platform, as well as California Will Be Saved. I would love to connect with you. Would love to see you. It's been such an honor, man.
Amazing, man. Well, thank you. We're definitely going to do it again. This is just the beginning of all that God's going to do, and the collaboration we'll have and the partnership. I'm excited for it. Thank you so much for being on. I'm going to text you right after because I want to sow into your ministry. But hey, thanks for being on tonight, bro.
Love you, man.
Awesome. God bless. Love you, man. Take care. Wow. What an awesome show, guys. I want to sow into his ministry. And also, I have something very important, so don't get off. I want to show you an announcement video that you might not have seen on YouTube. But before I show you, you have to commit to something, okay? What an awesome show. What an awesome show. Just, I'm all sweating, man. I feel the fire of God, the power of God. I'm looking like a glazed donut right now. I'm in the glory right now, feeling it. But I want to share an important announcement with you guys, a big change in our life, and then I'm going to talk about it. But if I show you this video, some of you have seen it, some of you haven't. If I show you this video, you have to promise after to go on my YouTube channel and watch the video, okay? Because we need to get the views up. We need people to see this. And if people don't watch it, the YouTube doesn't put it out. So after I show you what I'm about to show you, we're going to talk about it. We'll let you guys give. So the giving links are there. Then we're going to talk about this announcement. And I'll answer any questions you have going forward, okay? I know there's a lot of questions about this announcement I'm making. And I'll talk all about that. But let's watch the video first. So everybody look at the screen. Here we go. Here's the big announcement. And we'll talk right after. But you have to remember, you got to go watch on my YouTube channel after. Here we go. Let me make sure the music's off. All right, look at the screen.
So I've been wanting to talk to you about something, Life Song. I love the church. It's one of the most amazing churches I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
It's just so far. You know, we drive over an hour every Sunday. You can't get involved. The kids can't get involved. And it just seems like it's a struggle just going to church so far away.
I mean, I think I feel the same. It's just been really hard to like get plugged in and a place for the kids that is like close to home and they can find friends and stuff. So
yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I've been feeling the same way.
Well, we got to keep praying about it and I'm going to bed tired.
Yeah.
All right. Good night. Love you.
What am I doing here? I have not been here in 13 years. I still remember my sister inviting me saying, you're gonna feel the presence of God when you walk in. And man, as an atheist, I walked in and felt the presence of God. Man, it feels like just yesterday I was walking through the doors of this church. Wow. This is so crazy. I remember sitting in these chairs listening to the preacher and then filling that pool to come to the altar, walking right down the same spot. This is unreal. This is where it all started 13 years ago, sitting here as an atheist. I remember the preacher being like, come to the altar, God can change your life, come forward. And then just feeling something pulling on my shirt, not realizing I would never be the same after that night. And then looking back the last 13 years of traveling and preaching and seeing revival, and we just crossed 500 million views on our channel, and it all started right here. Man, God has been so good. I can't believe I'm back here. This is unbelievable. This is the exact spot I was in 13 years ago as an atheist when I came to an altar and said, God, I don't effing believe in you, but if you're real, I'll lay everything down. And the audible voice of God spoke from the sky and said, Isaiah, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want everything. I'm gonna use you to preach my gospel to the nations. Since that moment, 13 years ago, my life has never been the same. This is where it all started. I'm very excited to announce that our new home church will be the House Modesto, serving under Pastor Micah and Lindsay Berteau. After all these years, we're back at the house. Alyssa, I just had the craziest dream.
What happened?
I was at the house church in Modesto. I was standing in the spot I got saved in. And then Pastor James was blessing us out of Life Song.
What?
Isn't that crazy? No. Yeah, I was in the church. I was standing in the spot I got saved in, announcing that we're going to be a part of the church.
No, that's crazy.
Pastor Micah Berto texts me, "Dude, so glad you're part of the house now. Welcome home." It wasn't a dream.
That was epic. I love that video, man. That's our announcement. We're at a new home church now. Again, I'll answer all your guys' questions. I want to talk about why and go more in depth on it. If you missed the announcement, you got to make sure that you go back and watch it on the YouTube channel because, hey, we got to get those views up. But man, that's awesome. So I had this idea because I wanted to make an announcement video, but then I thought, what if we made it into like a short film? And then I was driving and I was like, what if we made it like a dream? But then when I wake up from the dream, it wasn't a dream. We actually are going to be at the house. So we had that little idea and worked with my buddy Jeremy, who did an awesome job. His contact's in the description of the original video if you need any video work done. And yeah, that's my first acting, guys. Don't judge me. You know, I'm not going to go out, move to Hollywood and be an actor or anything. But I do want to start making short films, maybe like 8 to 10 minutes, very cinematic, voiceovers, all of that. I kind of feel inspired by that announcement to do that. But we're very excited, and I'll talk all about that. Before I do that, I want to give you guys a chance to give. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.